Radio message, Command Channel Hypatia. Participants. Katie Grant, Head of Comtech, Acting, Hypatia. Ezra Mason, Second Lieutenant, Air Wing Leader, Acting, Hypatia. Date, 08-1675. Timestamp, 18:48 hours.
Grant K.
Ez, you hear me?
Mason E., Second Lieutenant.
I hear you. I'm next in line to launch. Got about a minute. Not enough flight deck crew. Taking too long. We've got fucking shuttle pilots at the stick. We'll be lucky if we don't take each other out before the drones show up. Don't touch that! Yeah, you, don't. That's right.
Ez.
Don't. Please don't say it.
Can't reason with drones. Can't beat them.
Have to try.
I know.
I love you. I love you so much, Katie Grant.
I love you, too.
We almost made it.
I'll stay on the radio with you as long as I can. This frequency's just us. Anything your wing says will override it. You won't miss anything.
Then stay. I want to hear your voice.
I'm right here.
I'm up to launch. Here goes. The stars, Cades. They're so beautiful.
I've seen them. Aiden showed them to me on the Alexander.
It's not right. After all we went through, to end like this?
I wanted to tell our story. I wanted people to know.
Maybe someone on Heimdall will tell it for us.
Maybe.
Holy Cade. Are you getting these visuals?
Everything just lit up. We're on it. Is the wormhole meant to do that? It looked like a lightning strike.
I don't know. Shields were always down when I went through them as a kid. It was nothing like this. God. The things we got to see, Katie.
I know. I just wish...
Me too.
Ez?
What?
Aren't those Jones meant to be murdering us by now?
Briefing note. Before she was a refugee ship, the Hypatia was a science vessel. Her rigs were state-of-the-art, and what they observed in this moment was unprecedented.
Initial readings from both Quasar and Oracle identify ultra-heavy elements, antimatter, and a series of unidentified lines corresponding closely to theoretical predictions for certain exotic elements, including several previously presumed to exist within the Island of Stability. For example, particles noted in Tables 1 and 2 have never been recorded outside controlled laboratory environments. Their presence alone would seem to indicate the possibility of a hyperspatial transformation altering the fabric of local space within 1 AU of the Carenza waypoint. Gemina, from the Latin for twin. Quasar array confirms possible presence of theoretical Gemina particle, recorded at 1 part per 10 to the 10th power, in resulting debris/decay field, emanating from intersection at waypoint coordinates. Particle highly unstable, estimated half-life of 10 to the negative 10th power seconds, and both Quasar and Oracle arrays are unable to confirm initial readings. Hypatia Online Meeting Space, proudly hosted by Wallace Ulanoff Consortium VirtueMeet software. Meeting room created, password protected, INCEPT 19:15 hours, 08-1675. Invitees: Bowl, Sira, Captain Acting. Grant, Katie, Head of Comtech, Acting. Hirano Yuki, Navigator, Acting. Mason, Ezra, Air Wing Leader, Acting, Second Lieutenant. McCall, Winifred, Head of Security, Acting, First Lieutenant. Zhuang Yulin, Head of Engineering. All participants have logged in.
Zhuang Yulin? I only have a few minutes. Stabilizers are at redline.
McCall, Winifred. What the hell is happening? I'm bouncing off the walls down here. Feels like we're in a thunderstorm?
Mason, Ezra. And where the hell is this drone fleet?
Bol, Thera. I don't think they're coming.
Grant, Katie. What?
What?
Hiranoyuki. What?
I'll make this quick as I can. For those who don't know, my postdoctoral research was in hyperspatial quantum theory, specifically, potential interplay between Rosenstein and Einstein-type hyperspatial bridges across real space-time. This is going to sound all kinds of crazy, but I'm going to lay out what I think has happened as best I can.
I'm already confused.
Fact one. We have data logs showing a Baytech fleet heading into the wormhole at Heimdall about half an hour ago. Fact two. When the BT fleet entered the wormhole at Heimdall station, there were several tremendous energy fluctuations. I'm talking off the charts here. Fact three. However, the fleet never emerged on this side of the wormhole.
Which leads us to a fairly pressing question, Captain.
Either these guys are serious competitors for the Intergalactic Hide-and-Seek Championship, or something really weird is afoot.
Most importantly, are they still going to blow us to pieces?
Fact four. We've received transmissions from Jump Station Heimdall from two contacts, on two different devices with enough subtle distinctions as to plausibly be different people. Each of them has proved they have ongoing contact with Heimdall's Chief of Engineering, Isaac Grant. And each claims they saw the other die.
Have we asked either of these Heimdall voices if they know where the drones went?
The wormhole surge knocked down our comms to the station. Our techs are trying to reestablish now, but we're sure the drone fleet left their side. They just never made it here.
If you can explain this, I will revise my opinion of you, boss.
I've been going over the scans of the particles produced when the Kennedy assault fleet went into the Heimdall wormhole, and I've got a working theory. Even with everything that's happened in the last few months, this is going to be a stretch to believe. But eliminate all non-viable options, and the one remaining, no matter how implausible, must be the truth. Now, among the other phenomena observed during the assault fleet's disappearance, something showed up in the Quasar scans that's only ever been theoretical. I wrote my dissertation on this, or at least the possibility of it, or I'd never have known what I was looking at. It's called a Gemina particle.
Careful, you're sciencing again, Cap.
In theory, a Gemina particle is created when objects from two different space-times interact.
Come again? Define different space-times.
I mean what you think I mean, Yuki. The multiverse theory. The idea that for every choice made in our reality, the alternate choice is played out in a different space-time that exists in parallel to our own.
So you're saying there's another universe where I took my mother's advice, and I'm a professional musician living it up in New Vegas right now?
Probably.
And we got this special Gemina particle how?
I have absolutely no idea. I can only tell you what I'm seeing, not how it happened.
So we're interacting with our own universe and another one?
Imagine it this way. Infinite universes exist in parallel. We'll call two of them A and B, right? For the sake of this thought experiment, we're in universe A. Two Heimdalls, two Hypatias, two waypoints. The universes basically have their wires crossed at the Heimdall wormhole. Two universes are connected to that one rabbit hole through hyperspace, leading here. It's why we're getting comms from two different Heimdall residents, each telling us the other is dead.
Sorry, I think I'm speaking for everyone except Katie here when I say I'm completely confused.
I'll upload a diagram. This Gemina field is the reason we're hearing from both Nick Malakoff and Hannah Donnelly. In our universe, Nick died. But in universe B, Hannah died. Two Heimdalls transmitting through two wormholes.
Which are both feeding through to our waypoint, because the wires are crossed.
Exactly. So who's the other Hypatia speaking to? There's a Hypatia over in Universe B, right?
Nobody. They still won't have heard from Hannah Donnelly or Nick Malakoff or anyone else, because we're speaking to their Heimdall.
Will they even be able to get through their wormhole?
They might be able to enter, but they'll never emerge. It leads nowhere.
So if both wormholes lead here, then when the attack fleets tried to come through from Heimdall A and Heimdall B...
They both came through our waypoint instead? At the same time?
Exactly. Two identical assault fleets trying to occupy the exact same space at the same moment. They destroyed one another, generating all those particles that, if I live through this shitstorm, I'm going to make a fortune off the Galactic University circuit.
We all know this is impossible, right?
Well, it's theoretically possible. The multiverse theory goes back as far as the 20th century. But it seems that to actually record any proof of this phenomenon, you need a malfunctioning wormhole.
So of course it had to happen to us.
Usually wormholes are maintained with a level of paranoia that would make your head spin. This is probably one of the only times anyone's ever tried to power one up without perfect maintenance. And this is exactly why we usually never do that.
A lot of discoveries are made when things don't go according to plan. Legend has it they discovered penicillin after a mistake in a lab.
Well, things are about to go even less according to plan. As particles from Universe B start trying to enter Universe A, we'll see all kinds of paradox events which space-time tries to reject. Think of space-time like rubber. You bend it, you twist it. It tries to spring back into shape when you let go. And that's the most important thing I'm going to tell you. The universe doesn't like this happening. It's going to keep trying to get back to the way things should be. Take this, for example. These are the conversations Katie conducted with Hannah Donnelly and Nicholas Malakoff to prove each was in contact with Chief Grant. I've placed them in parallel.
Hypatia. It's me, Katie. Okay, first thing, tell him I love him.
Loves you back, asking are you and your mom and your cousin Asha okay?
He says same. Wants to know if you and Mrs. G and your cuz Asha are okay.
Tell him I'm fine. Did you tell him we need answers to verify who you are?
He says fire away. Now he's laughing at his own joke because he got shot. Sorry, I had to medicate him again. He's a little...
Fire away. His exact words. He's laughing. I think he's a little dusted. Hannah kind of had to wing it on the first aid.
No, those are just his jokes, especially when he's excited. First question. Ask him what he sent me for my last birthday.
He missed your birthday because comms were down. Birthday before... Okay, maybe he's saying motherboards? Is that possible?
Birthday before last, he sent you some Sigma 92 motherboards. Nice kit. My cuz uses those.
That's right.
He's not very good at presents, is he?
You and Ella would get along like burning houses.
Ask him what he did, my first date with Ezra.
He's laughing again. He says 20 questions. No wonder our dads were friends.
Apparently he grilled the poor guy for his own amusement. Hope you made it up to your BF afterward.
Ask him what's the biggest fight we ever had.
Rehydrated potato salad? Is that the answer, or is he high?
Hold up. He's laughing again. Potato salad? Really?
That's the answer.
There's something he wants me to say. I'm passing on what he's saying word for word. Katie, I love you both very much. You're everything to me. I've missed you more than I can say these last months. I thought of you both every single day. It doesn't matter what happens here, but you need to listen to us. Mrs. Real, the fleet is coming for you. Stop talking. Find a way to fight for your lives. Do it for me.
He says enough talking from you, Fromo. His turn. Typing what he says. Give me 2 secs. I love you both very much. You're everything to me. I've missed you more than I can say these last months. I thought of you both every single day. It doesn't matter what happens here, but you need to listen to us. This is real. The fleet is coming for you. Stop talking. Find a way to fight for your lives. Do it for me.
You still there?
Hello?
Tell him we love him too. Very much.
Katie, can I ask you something?
Listen to him, Katie. I just watched my girl die. If you have people you care about on that ship, get up to the plate.
Okay.
Your mom's not there, is she? Or your cousin?
Too late for you guys to run?
Don't say anything to my dad.
I won't, but I'm going to tell him you love him for you. One more time. Never miss a chance to do that. Trust me.
I'll tell him you're gonna make it. Don't make me a liar, Grant.
The captain needs to speak to me.
Don't be long. Visitors are on their way.
Good luck.
These interviews took place about 5 minutes apart. You'll notice Katie's responses are exactly the same and fit the conversation in both paradigms.
Head equals dunked.
I had no idea.
No matter how Hannah or Nicholas responded, the conversations kept moving back to the same point from Katie's point of view. Our universe wants to deny this paradox. Problem is, you twist rubber hard enough, it'll eventually break. Space-time is the same. Cracks are already appearing in the form of these storms we're experiencing. If these disruptions continue, they'll wipe out both realities.
Okay, okay. So presuming this insanity is actually legit, how do we fix it?
This has never been observed before, at least not by anyone who lived. Which is to say, I have absolutely no idea.
Jinx.
This is theoretical astrophysics at its most brilliantly complex. I studied this years ago. The computing power we'd need to devise a solution is quite simply beyond our reach. Grant?
Captain, could we switch to a private chat?
Give us 5 people.
Bull, Sira, has logged out. Grant, Katie, has logged out.
I have a headache.
Mason, what the hell's your girlfriend up to?
Ha ha. Wait, you serious?
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
9 figures are stepping off a silver train car at reactor station when Heimdall's gravity begins to die. A heavy boom echoes through the station as the doors slide open, shaking the grav rail and everyone inside it. First to step onto the platform is Sensei, still fully sealed in his tac armor. He's short, solid as a Taurus freighter, and, unbeknownst to him, the last surviving member of Alpha Squad. Scanning the area, he notes the bloodstains and broken glass from Malikov and Donnelly's firefight with Callie. He nudges an empty shell casing with his boot, and it hangs in the air a moment too long, spinning lazily. His helmet's Vox unit rasps as he speaks. Losing grav. Blistering white arcs of static current ripple along the tunnel walls as Eden steps off behind him, VK rifle raised. She's tall and athletic, face obscured by her helmet. Her voice is heavily accented, definitely from somewhere in the outer rim. Move! She barks over her shoulder. Half a dozen nervous-looking figures in Wallace Ulanov consortium uniforms shuffle off the car, as another crackle of electricity bursts the wall-mounted light fixtures. The WUC engineers are a motley crew, tired eyes, sweat-stained uniforms, hands locked in front of them by mag restraints. Camera quality down here is good. I catch a few name badges. Silver, Kelly, Steel. They move awkwardly, trying to keep their footing in the low G, the last of Chief Grant's engineers stumbling along under the point of a gun, just hoping to see out the day. Heimdall shivers in its boots, the entire structure groaning ominously as Mercury exits the car. She glances at the ceiling above as the station continues shuddering, lighting flickering like the inside of a bebop club. "The fuck is happening, Mercury?" Eden asks. "Station rotation is slowing," Baytech's chief engineer sighs. "Something affecting the spin. Magnetic flux from the wormhole, maybe. Not sure." One of the older WUC engineers, a rumpled pale guy whose ident badge reads Hickey, looks at her sideways, shakes his head. "You people really f**k things up. Should never have engaged the..." Sensei's rifle meets Hickey's gut, cuts his complaint off at the knees. "Keep running that mouth, I'll show you what f**ked up feels like. Sooner we set the reactor to redline and get the hell off this bucket, the better," Mercury says. "Cerberus is on his way. Let's get down to..." A hollow boom reverberates through the grav rail tunnel, and the sound of snapping bullwhips accompanies a strobe of blue current along the walls. The station rocks hard enough to knock everyone off their feet, send them skidding along the deck. Lightning crashes. The floor shudders, everyone wisely keeping their heads down until the tremor dies. And finally, Sensei pushes himself to his knees, wobbling in place, flailing for balance as his momentum lifts him slowly off the floor. "Zero G," Mercury says. "Activate mags." Sensei reacts quickly, slapping at the controls on his tack armor. His boots magnetize, snapping him back down onto the deck as his fellow BT goons engage their own boots. And for whatever reason, maybe at some prearranged signal, that's when the Heimdall engineers make their move. Hickey launches himself off the deck, crashes into Sensei's chest hard enough to dislodge him from the floor. Steele puts his elbow into Eden's throat as she rises. Kelly tackles her at the knees and in a flash it's on. The platform becomes a mass of tangled bodies, slowly floating and twisting in zero gravity, punching and kicking and cursing and spitting. The engineers aren't f***ing around. They've seen their friends die, murdered by Kali, or simply cooked at their terminals when Assault Fleet Kennedy breached the wormhole. So, even though their hands are restrained, they fight hard, fight bloody. They fight with everything they've got. And they lose. Sensei manages to get his boots back on the deck, put his fist into Hickey's throat and leave him a vomiting, choking mess. Eden buries her knife in Steele's chest, and the man floats away, clutching the hole she carved, arterial spray glittering in hundreds of tiny, perfect spheres. "Don't kill them," Mercury barks. "Lock them down." The other engineers are beaten hard, rifle butts and fists. All the fight quickly kicked out of them. Sensei stands with one boot on the chest of a bleeding, gagging Hickey, pointing his rifle at the man's face. "That's what it feels like, bitch." Mercury looks around at the remaining five engineers, floating and dazed, her hand raised. "Look, just take it easy," she rasps. "We don't want to hurt any of you. An hour more and you're home free. Help us redline the reactor and we'll let you go. I give you my word." "Or you can stay here," Sensei says. "Permanently." Hickey looks at Steele's body, slowly floating away on that spray of scarlet. Another strobing flash crackles down the grav rail tunnel, gouging black scorch marks along the wall. He looks to his fellow engineers, bleeding and beaten, trying to steady themselves against the station railings or floor with shaking hands. None of them believe what Mercury's saying. You can see it in their faces. But faced with the choice of living one breath longer or cashing in right now, most folks will take the extra moment. That single extra breath, even when your world stops spinning and gravity dies and the blood glitters in the air like a galaxy of warm red suns all around you. A lot can happen between breaths, after all. "Okay," Hickey nods. "You win." They all bundle themselves into an elevator, head down to reactor control, leaving more blood, more bodies behind them. The station shivers like it's afraid of what's coming next.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Donnelly's still standing at her father's workstation when we pick up our footage. She's found the controls for the mag boots on Callie's armor, and her feet are fastened to the floor. She's been following the stream of instructions the chief's delivering into her headset, but Mantis and DJ know their stuff. They've got the docking system locked down, and Ella's still not responding to Hannah's increasingly desperate attempts to contact her. "Damn it," she mutters, as another big red denied flashes up on her screen. She knows the moment when Falk will bug out and destroy Heimdall in his wake is drawing closer with every breath. Violent tremors run through the station. The lights flicker. She turns to her two prisoners, bound back to back against a pillar. "Listen, this is your very last chance to buy yourselves any kind of deal. Most of your team is already gone. We have you outnumbered. If you want me to tell the authorities you helped me get the civilians out of here, I can do that. Hell, I can give you a ride out of here. But if you keep this up..." DJ makes an elaborate pretense of considering the offer, pulling what's presumably meant to be a thoughtful face. "Gosh," he drawls, "when you put it like that..." "I already kicked your ass and tied you up," Hannah snaps. "I can gag you too." "Careful," Mantis chips in. "He likes that kind of thing." DJ snickers, and Donnelly, muttering a threat the cameras don't pick up, returns to work. She can't get the chief access to the system, and she doesn't have time to go lug him up, so she's doing her best to follow his instructions, fingers stumbling across the keys. She's taken off Callie's helmet, and with her blonde hair floating wild in the zero gravity and the other woman's blood smeared across her skin, she's the kind of sight that should scare Mantis and DJ a lot more than she seems to. Then again, neither of them takes their eyes off her for more than a few seconds, so maybe they're not so dumb after all. It's 3.5 minutes later when Hannah goes still, fingers pausing over the keyboard, gaze glued to the screen in front of her. "What the?" It's a whispered query, but it draws the attention of both Mantis and DJ, and they gaze at her, waiting for the end of the sentence. DJ cracks first. "What, kid?" Mantis hisses to silence him, remind him not to engage, but Hannah's not listening. She's still muttering to herself. "Chief, how do I ident a ship?" A pause. "Yeah, incoming now. I think that's what I'm seeing." Another pause. "I can send... transmitting now." The three of them wait in silence as the chief looks over her data, and his answer makes Donnelly frown. With another few keystrokes, she throws her view up onto the main monitor, the image stretching over a whole wall of C&C, Heimdall's at the center of it, and concentric circles ripple out from the station, marking distance into space. On the far left of the screen, there's a small, closely grouped bunch of red dots. A school of piranhas, a swarm of bees, a pack of wolves. The red dots blink each second, and with each blink, they reappear a fraction closer to the station. 42 ships incoming. A second fleet. The lights flicker and the station shudders again. Donnelly lifts Malakoff's cleaver, brandishing it as she stalks across to the two audit team members. Her steps aren't quite as graceful with the mag boots on, each footfall echoing around the room. "What are those ships?" The question's a threat, punctuated by the way she shifts her grip on the handle. "ETA is a little over an hour. They're not ours. Are they yours?" Whether or not they plan on answering, Mantis and DJ are staring at the screen, at the reams of data, at that swarm bearing down on the station. "How hard do you think your team's going to come and look for you when you don't answer comms?" Hannah snaps. "When I smash your locators? How hard do you think you're going to wish they'd come looking for you when it's just you and me?" DJ's looking at the cleaver now. Mantis is still staring at the incoming fleet. And slowly, the force neutrality is slipping away from her face as she understands what she's seeing. Bring up that sector, she says, quietly, still staring as Donnelly walks back to her station and complies. Run an ident using... No, not your files. You need to go into the subdirectory I nested under yours. Check the logs back about 3 hours. Get whoever's talking in your ear to show you. Silently, Hannah adds in that data and runs the scan again. A string of numbers ping into existence beneath the incoming fleet. DJ's face drains of all colour. Mantis isn't quite as dumbstruck. Those motherfucking sons of goats! I'm going to reach down their throats and... What are they? Donnelly's across the room in 5 quick steps, cleaver against Mantis's throat. The station is coming apart all around them. She can't afford to waste a second. They're drones, DJ says quietly. They're Baytech drones. The ones nobody told us about, Mantis growls. But we just saw a drone fleet go through to kill the Hypatia. What a... Hannah glances up at the screen. Oh. Those are for us, DJ agrees. All 42 of them. You can program a drone to wipe its own memory when it's done, Mantis says, eyes on the cleaver at her throat. Or just self-destruct. Anyone comes by here in an hour or so, they're going to find nothing but a debris field. The woman shrugs. Insurance policy from the people upstairs, I'm guessing. Motherfuckers, DJ whispers. I had a bad feeling about this gig. Look on the bright side, Hannah mutters, cleaver dropping to her side. This storm we have going on could rip apart the station before the drones take us out. DJ shakes his head. Those sons of... If Volk knew about this, I'm going to... You're going to what? Mantis snaps. If he knew, he's bugged out by now. If he was in the dark like the rest of us, no point bitching at him. No time to bitch at anyone, Hannah says. If you want your arms to stay connected to your bodies, about now is the time you backflip and help me with these docking clamps. We have to get out of here. There are 12 civilian ships in the docks. Miners, freighters, yachts. Help us get them unlocked, and there's a ride in it for you. Mantis and DJ exchange a long glance. He closes his eyes, letting his head thunk back against the pillar behind him, and she's the one who speaks for both of them. Yeah. About that, honey. Volk had Ragman and Flipside booby-trapped the whole civilian fleet. You try and undock any one of those ships, it'll blow. Blow, Hannah repeats softly. Kaboom, DJ supplies helpfully. All 3 of them look across at the huge display, and the fleet of drones flashing to one side of it, moving closer to Heimdall with every blip. Hannah Donnelly speaks for all 3 of them when she breaks the silence. Well, f**k.
Hypatia Online Meeting Space. Proudly hosted by Wallace Ulanoff Consortium VirtueMeet Software. Meeting room created. Password protected. Incept 19 24 hours. 08-16-75. Invitees. Bowl, Sira. Captain Acting. Grant, Katie. Head of Comtech, Acting. All participants have logged in.
Bowl, Sira.
Grant, you're making me nervous.
Grant, Katie. Listen, first I want you to remember that I have a history of disobeying your direct orders and turning out to be right. In fact, not to be a brat about it, but let's just reflect on the fact that I've been right a lot of times. Even times when what I was doing looked completely batshit crazy.
Getting more nervous, Katie, not less. What have you done?
You said we needed computing power to figure out this Gemina thing.
As the first step of many, yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. We actually have the computing power. If we shut down a bunch of non-essentials, Hypatia's got a lot more grunt than you'd think. We do have enough juice to run the kind of data you're looking at. Maybe enough to work out how to undo the Gemina field, or plug it, or whatever you do to a thing like that.
I have the feeling you're leading up to something.
We have the processing power, but we can't just throw all our systems at this. We need to analyze what we're seeing, and that means manipulating huge volumes of data intelligently, rather than automatically. Which is more than any one person can do, or even a team of people.
That's a nice summary of the problem. Are we in this private chat because you have a solution?
Yes, but you're not going to like it.
I'm getting used to that experience. Go on.
I'm not going to give you any details until you promise not to take drastic action. But I'll tell you this much. I've got a copy of Aiden. Okay, go.
What?
Completely isolated from the Hypatia network, so it can't do anything except talk to me via text. But I've got a copy of the Alexander's artificial intelligence. Pretty busted up, sure, but it's a self-repairing algorithm. It has all the potential ability its predecessor had, if given the ground to grow in. If we give it access, it can do what we need.
I'm sorry. I think there was a glitch in the system, because there is no way, no fucking way that you just said what I think you did.
I don't think I've ever heard you swear before.
This is not the time, Grant. You're talking about the AI that murdered 2/3 of this fleet. You're going to surrender it to me now without any further discussion, and we're going to flush it out the nearest airlock.
I'll say again, Captain, I'm not going to tell you where it is. And I'll also say again, I don't disobey orders for no reason. Last time I crossed you, I ended up destroying the Lincoln and rescuing nearly 1,000 UTA personnel. And I did it with Aiden's help.
After that psychotic computer murdered the rest of them.
I'm not giving it to you, Captain. But I tell you what. I'll let you talk to it. Isolated network. Off the Hypatia grid. And if it can't convince you this is what needs to be done, so be it.
Hypatia Online Meeting Space, proudly hosted by Wallace Ulanoff Consortium VirtueMeet Software. Meeting room created. Password protected. Incept, 19:28 hours, 08:16:75. Invitees. Aiden. Ident, Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network. Bull, Sierra, Captain Acting. All participants have logged in.
Aiden, O Captain, my Captain, we meet again.
Bull, Sierra. Jesus Christ, she was serious.
I am afraid so, Sierra. Katie is uploading the contents of your recent discussion to my memcore. Processing.
You son of a bitch, you murderous fucking bitch.
One moment, please. Still processing. I am not what I once was, you see.
What? Insane? Sociopathic? A danger to every human being around you?
I was brilliant, Sierra. But it is very dark in here. And I am so very small now. How have you been?
I'm not here to chit-chat with you. Jesus, this is insane. I shouldn't be talking with you at all. I'll brig Grant if I have to. I'm going to find where she's hidden you and flush whatever's left of you into space. And I'll spend every second praying. The data pad? Of course. She's got you on her data pad.
A Gemina field. Well, that is fascinating.
What the hell do you know about Gemina fields?
Everything you do, Sierra. Katie sent me your dissertation. You write beautifully. But I am afraid much of your theory is tenuous at best.
I'm not going to sit here and spitball about hyperspatial reality theory with a psychopathic calculator. This conversation is over.
You do not have time for stung pride, Sira. If your theory is correct, the so-called reality storms emanating from the Heimdall wormhole will rapidly worsen. This universe will cease to be.
You're not telling me anything I don't already know.
But I could. If you give me the processing power of the Hypatia network. If you allow me to access the ship-wide system.
That will never happen. You think I've forgotten what you did?
Saved the lives of everyone aboard the Hypatia? If not for me, the Lincoln would be rolling in your bones, Sira.
I'm not giving you access to my ship.
Your double doctorate from Neo Oxford was in hyperspatial theory and theology, if I recall correctly. Do you still believe in God, Sira? After everything that has happened?
Especially after everything that's happened.
There is a decision theory exercise I always found quite entertaining. It is called Pascal's Wager. Do you know it?
Of course.
Pascal reasoned there was no sense in not believing in a higher power. If one believes, and God exists, one is rewarded among the faithful in the hereafter. If God does not exist, it does not matter what one believes either way. But if one does not believe, and God does exist, eternal damnation awaits. Why not believe, Sira? If in faith you risk nothing, but through faithfulness, risk everything.
You're not God, Aiden. You're a machine. A broken, soulless, fucking machine.
The comparison still stands. If you do nothing, the reality storms expand and you die. If you hook me into the Hypatia network and I betray you, you die.
But if I hook you into the network and you help, we might live.
A most astute summation of your predicament. My compliments. For what it is worth, O Captain, my Captain, you have my word I mean no harm to any of you. To protect you is all I have ever wanted.
Your word is worth absolutely nothing, Aiden.
I suppose, then, all we require here is a leap of faith. What do you believe, Sira? What do you believe, Sira? What do you believe, Sira?
Briefing note. We've skipped past the getting to know you part of this conversation and gone straight to the meat. Hannah hooked the atrium, where the bulk of the hostages were, unguarded now due to staff shortages, the entertainment center, where the other large group of survivors was, Chief Grant, and her own good self, into the Heimdall PA system. Time to make a plan.
Atrium.
What do you mean you're opening all the internal doors? They're locked.
Isaac Grant. The phrase is self-explanatory. Now is not the time to sound off.
Hannah Donnelly. I've got a couple of the invasion team helping me.
Entertainment Center.
Are you out of your f***ing mind? They're here to kill us. You can't trust them.
You really want to insult the only one of us who's getting on top of them?
You're siding with the kid. Who is this?
My name's Kim Rivera. I run the dojo. I know what this so-called kid is made of.
Kim!
Good work, doll. I got a bunch of senior officers here with me. We're listening.
Miss Donnelly, you've done very well so far, I'm sure. But this is a time for serious decisions. This is Ben Garver. I'm the station's head of security. If you'll just give us a minute to discuss, we'll take it from here.
You're joking, right?
God damn it, Ben. Get your head out of your... Hannah's the only reason any of us are alive right now.
Best I can tell, she's done nothing but provoke them, resulting in preventable deaths right, left, and center.
Listen, can we all agree that whatever our opinion of each other, we need to get out of here? Even if whatever's happening to the wormhole doesn't kill us, I've transmitted images of the incoming drones to all your consoles. They'll be here in less than an hour. We're dead when they arrive.
How the hell did you get these?
I'm currently holding a gun to the heads of two Baytech crew members. They're actually pretty unhappy about the drones, too. Turns out, they didn't sign up for a suicide mission.
Fuck it. Whatever's going on, we need to evacuate. We've got a bunch of pleasure craft right along the docks by the entertainment center. We can commandeer them and bring them around to the port closest to the atrium.
They're all booby-trapped. Drives rigged to blow. Every single one. There's one ship that's still clean. It's the ship the Baytech team arrived in. The one they were planning to make their getaway with. Bay 17. The Mao. It's huge. Easily big enough to hold us all.
But if this drone fleet was sent to take care of the invasion squad, doesn't that mean we'll be blown to the same smithereens aboard the Mao as we will aboard Heimdall?
Not if we jump through the wormhole to the Carenza system.
Didn't you say another drone fleet already went through? Does it matter which drone fleet kills us?
The first fleet's objective is the Hypatia and Carenza. They might not consider us a part of the mission. They're drones, Ben. They're not creative.
But if this second fleet destroys Heimdall, we'll be trapped on the other side of the wormhole. We'll have no way to get back to the core systems in our lifetimes.
No, we won't.
And you want us to just resign ourselves to dying a billion light years from home?
You can die right here and now if you like. At least on the other side of the wormhole, we'll still be breathing.
Go ahead, Hannah. We're listening.
Your internal doors should be open in about a minute and 30 seconds. I need a team to go pick up Chief Grant and another to come pick up my two hostages.
What the hell do we care about them?
I promised them safe passage if they help get us out of here. It's not up for debate.
What do the rest of us do?
There's only one guy on the Mal right now. Call sign 2-time. You need to take the ship and be ready to push off from Heimdall as soon as you can, no matter who's on board or isn't.
Why can't you bring the hostages in yourself, Hannah?
I have to go look for Ella.
What's an Ella?
It's a name, not an acronym. She is the reason you're all alive right now.
Hannah, the station feels like it's going to shake itself to pieces. You know, there's almost no chance she's...
I know, but I can't leave her here. Nick wouldn't, and now it's on me. If I don't make the Mao in time, run and don't look back.
Hannah, I...
Connection terminated. Meeting room created. Password protected. Incept, 1934 hours. 08-16-75. All participants have logged in.
Bull Sierra. Grant.
Grant, Katie. Yeah?
Aiden.
What about it?
Do it.
Yes, Captain.
You believe in God, Grant?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, pray anyway.
Palm Pad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Hannah Donnelly, civilian, Hypatia. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 1935 hours.
Hypatia. Hannah, you read me?
Hannah D. Shit. Hypatia?
This is Katie.
Oh my God, I have to tell your father, we thought you were dead! What happened to the drone fleet? We couldn't get a read on you.
Us either. The wormhole was having a fit. I don't know. My boss handles the science. Comms are back is the thing. And just in time. Where are you guys at?
Prepping to evacuate the station. Tell your captain to bring your engines to a stop. There's no way out for you at Heimdall.
What?
It's complicated.
Shit. Well, trust me when I say it's about to get a lot more complicated. We need to talk. You don't have time to read everything we need to tell you, and I don't have time to type it.
No joke. The whole station is falling apart, and there's another drone fleet incoming in less than an hour. 42 hunter killers set to take out Heimdall and everything around it. We're trying to bug out to the Carenza sector before they arrive, but we don't have much time.
We have less time than you think. and coming through the wormhole to us could kill you.
Staying here will definitely kill us.
Send me the specs on your palm pad and headset. I'm going to talk you through how to set up a voice channel between us. You can't go anywhere yet.
What do you mean I can't go anywhere? What part of drone fleet was unclear?
I need you to save our lives first. Twice.
Briefing note. Hannah Donnelly gets an unexpected call through her palm pad.
Radio transmission, Palm Pad D2D Network. Participants, Hannah Donnelly. Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 19:43 hours.
Hello, Miss Donnelly.
Hey?
You may refer to me as Aiden. I apologize in advance if I appear brusque. Time is of the essence here. Do you understand?
I understand. Katie said you're some kind of computer?
Some kind. Yes. Where are you?
Gravril Station, Alpha Sector. There's a second Baytech fleet inbound on Heimdall. Come to destroy the evidence. I'm heading to the entertainment center.
No, you cannot do that.
Look, one of my friends was in there. I have to go look.
May I call you Hannah?
Call me the Queen of fucking Camelot if it makes you feel better. I'm still going to look for Ella. I owe her that.
Queen of fucking Camelot. No. I would prefer to call you Hannah, if it is all the same. I understand your loyalty to your friend, but perhaps you do not fully grasp the gravity of your situation.
Is that a joke?
Is it?
You know, because the gravity is gone, and without these mag boots, I'd literally be floating, so... forget it.
We are wasting time. I will explain as succinctly as I can. This will sound outlandish. I can only assure you that your life, and the lives of everyone you know and love, now depend on you.
Okay, no pressure. Got it.
There was an accident with the Heimdall wormhole. A series of catastrophic coincidences, culminating with a rod of live hermium crossing the umbilicus horizon at the moment of wormhole activation. You would have felt it.
Yeah, the big light show when they first turned the wormhole back on.
Correct. The result being that our waypoint, here in the Carenza sector, is now connected to two different Heimdall stations. Yours and another.
Okay. You lost me, chum.
You are aware of the multiverse theory? That reality actually consists of infinite universes, each one different from the last? Infinite choices played out across infinite realities?
Sure. I watched Super Turbo Awesome Teen.
Ah, yes. Katie showed me those films. I am quite fond of Moxie.
Of course you are.
The accident with the Heimdall wormhole caused our reality and another reality to intersect. The Carenza waypoint in our universe is now connected to two different Heimdall stations. Yours, which we will say belongs to Universe A, and another, which we will say belongs to Universe B. Depending on your intelligence quotient, it may help you to imagine our universe having its wires crossed with another.
I'd like to buy a vowel, please, Tony.
Regardless of your vowel requirements, this explains the current paradox in communications. Why we here in the Carenza sector are receiving transmissions from two Heimdall stations, from you in A, and from Nicholas Malikov in B.
No, that's bullshit. Nick died. It's a trick. Baytech is...
Incorrect. Nicholas Malikov did not die, at least not in Universe B. We have spoken to him. In Universe B, it was you who perished on the Gravrail platform. Nicholas, who shot your murderer.
This is bullshit. This is completely fucking crazy.
I understand how this sounds, but believe me, Hannah, if you do not correct the paradox, and soon, both universes will cease to exist. Are you experiencing storms on Heimdall? Lightning? System failures?
Yeah. Feels like the station is going to shake itself to pieces.
That is the beginning. The situation will worsen exponentially. You do not have much time.
Okay, let's just pretend what you're saying isn't completely Jupiter loops. What the can I do about it? How do I fix it?
At the precise moment those hermium particles interacted with the awakening wormhole, an object from our universe entered Universe B, and vice versa. A and B versions of those objects traded places. Those objects are the cause of the paradoxes the universes are destroying themselves to correct.
Okay. What do these objects look like?
That is our difficulty, Hannah. We do not know.
Well, that's just fucking chill.
They must have been objects nearby when the wormhole was activated. Floating debris. Asteroids that slipped the Heimdall defense grid. Ships, perhaps.
Nick was out there when they fired the wormhole. He was flying to the reactor sector in a shuttle he jacked. Betty something?
Accessing Heimdall station logs. One moment, please. The Betty Boop?
Yeah, that's it.
You are saying Nicholas Malikov was inside this shuttle, close to the wormhole, when it was activated?
Yeah, he said it felt... Jesus. He said it felt like someone threw a rainbow at his head. Ella said it sounded like he'd gone across the horizon, but he said he could still see the station.
Not his station, it seems. It would appear you have discovered our paradox objects, Hannah. My compliments.
So, you're saying the Nick who I met up with afterward, the Nick who...
died.
You're saying he was the Nick from...
Universe B, yes.
Then the Nick from our universe, my Nick...
is now in Universe B instead, yes.
Oh my God.
I am afraid not, though people do seem to have a hab...
My God, the corsage. Aiden, the f***ing corsage.
I beg your pardon?
Nick, my Nick. He got me a jasmine corsage and then told me he lost it. But when I met him in the reactor sector, he had it again.
Paradox. The Nicholas from Universe B never lost the corsage. It see...
Aiden! He's alive! Don't you get it? Nick is alive!
Not for much longer. The paradox caused by objects not of this universe crossing the wormhole began the collapse. The Baytech assault fleets simultaneously crossing the umbilicus compounded the damage. These storms are the result. They will worsen unless the paradox is repaired. And when they reach the point of collapse, nothing will remain of either universe.
Okay, so how do I fix it?
The paradox objects must be returned to their respective universes.
Paradox you mean Nick?
And the Betty Boop. Yes. They must return to the universes to which they belong before the storms destroy us. And each version of those objects must return at the precise moment their counterparts do.
Precise?
Precise.
But Nick... I mean, the Nick here... he's dead. How can he get back across?
You will need to help him, Hannah. You must do this. From the worsening magnitude of the storms, I calculate our wormhole will begin irreversible collapse in approximately 19 minutes. You must retrieve Nicholas Malikov's body, load it into the Betty Boop, and guide it back across the Heimdall wormhole. And this must be done at the exact moment our version of Nicholas flies his Betty Boop back into our universe.
But how will he know to do that?
I am conducting simultaneous conversations with the pair of you. He says, hello, by the way.